Good day, and welcome to the Barratt Trading Update Analyst and Investor Call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to David Thomas. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. Today, we're issuing the trading update for the 6 months ended the 31st of December. I have Neil with me. If I initially just run through the highlights, we've seen another strong first half performance, both operationally and financially. I'm pleased to say that we expect to announce a record profit before tax for the first half, which is up around 7% against the comparable period at 315 million. Our total completions for the 6 months at 7,180 were lower than the prior year. But completions outside of London were at their highest level for 9 years, offset by lower completions in London. However, for the full year, we remain confident in our previous guidance of wholly owned completion growth and around 700 joint venture completions. We have ended the half year with a strong cash position of 195 million compared to 24 million last year. So let me just give you a little more detail on trading. First of all, we've seen that healthy market conditions combined with our industry-leading build and sales teams means that sales rates have been strong again in the period. The net private reservation rate per site per week increased to 0.68 from 0.66 for the same period last year. ASPs on completions are up by 5.3% for private and 3.9% in total. This is benefiting from both mix changes and some underlying price inflation. We launched 83 developments in the period, and we operated from 374 sites on average. This is lower than last year's average 386 sites. However, we do expect to see average outlets increase in the second half, and that we should be broadly flat for the full year. If we look in more detail at the business outside of London, as we said in November, our reservations have been particularly strong in Scotland, the north and northwest of England, and the West Midlands compared to the prior year. Our completions in London were significantly lower than the prior year in half one, but this was in line with our budgets and was mainly driven by the timing of our build programmes. We are confident of a strong London wholly owned completions performance in half two, with more product available both for reservation and completion below a £600,000 price point. And also with the pricing action that we outlined in November at some higher ASP sites, and that has helped stimulate reservation rates during our second quarter. We have also further de-risked London in December with a bulk deal of 54 apartments at our Fulham and Aldgate sites. Returning to the group as a whole and looking forward, our total forward order book is strong, up 16%, and with private forward sales up 34%. This sets us well on track for the full year. Turning to the land market, we are continuing to secure outstanding opportunities that at least meet our minimum hurdle rates of a 20% gross margin and 25% return on capital employed. We have approved £330 million of operational land during the period. That's 39 sites and 5,350 plots. This is lower than last year's comparable, owing to our caution immediately after the referendum. However, we continue to expect to approve around 15,000 plots for the full year. We've also continued to invest in strategic sites, and we approved auctions on 15 sites in the period. We expect to deliver in excess of 25% of our completions from strategic land in the medium term. We strengthened our financing capacity by amending and extending our revolving credit facility. It will remain at $700 million and be in place until December 2021. So looking forward, we remain positive on outlook. We've had a strong first half, and our focus remains on maintaining our good operational and financial performance and delivering attractive returns to our shareholders. We are on track to achieve our medium-term target of a minimum return on capital of 25%, and we remain focused on our 20% gross margin target for the full year, whilst recognising the high-end London market does present some headwinds. The strong performance and cash generation of the business is reflected in our dividend payments so far, and we intend to update the market on our plans beyond the November 2017 dividends at the interim results in February. We will now be happy to take your questions.
If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. Again, it is star 1 to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Clyde Lewis from Peel Hunt. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning, David. Morning, Neil. Morning, Chloe. Three, if I may. One, can you just update us as to where you think land creditors would have been at the end of the half year? Secondly, in terms of the 15,000 land bank plot purchases that we've got as a target, do you think there's much risk to that number? You know, sort of, I suppose, can you give us a little bit of a range as to where you think the outcomes could be? And the third one was on sort of, I suppose your sales approach now, given the strength of the private forward order book, are you sort of less keen to be discounting and giving any tidbits away in terms of sort of pricing, and you're holding out a little bit more for margin, or are you sort of continuing to sort of treat the sort of sales process as it was in the first half of the year? Okay.
Hi, good morning. If I pick up the land bank and the private forward order book position and incentives, and then Neil can cover the land creditor position. So in terms of 15,000 approvals, I think we're pretty confident we can hit that number. I mean, we provided that number previously, so we're obviously looking at the underlying rate of approval and what we've got in pipeline in terms of offers that we've made and what we think is likely to be the position in terms of offers accepted. I think there is potentially some downside risk, but I wouldn't think it would be more than 1,500, 2,000 approvals in terms of downside risk. In terms of the private forward order book, I mean, I suppose two points to make really. One is clearly the numbers are very, very strong, and that is at least in part explaining the position that we have in London, where we've said that our build program is skewed into the second half of the year, and therefore sites like Catford, Wembley, West Hendon were delivering buildings in the second half of the year, and those buildings are currently, the reservations are sitting in the forward order book. I think generally in terms of the incentive or the discount environment, I think we're still in the same market, particularly below 600,000 that we've been in for the last two or three years, where the level of incentives and discounts that are being given are very low, and that environment still exists.
Clyde, yeah, land creditors, we're expecting to be around £1 billion or 35% of the land asset.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys.
We will now take our next question from Gavin Jago from Peel Hunt. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning, gents. Just a couple from me, if I could, just on kind of on regions, really. Obviously, don't expect you to list all of the regions that have been doing well in the statement, but I'm just wondering if you could give us a feel for kind of how the South East and maybe the South West have been performing, I think particularly the South East, given you know, what's been happening in London. And then secondly, on the London side, I think London Help to Buy has been in place for the best part of a year now. Just wondering if you could give us a feel for how that's been trending and impacting or benefiting your sales rates.
Gavin, hi, good morning. Yes, I mean, we've obviously drawn out some of the performances regionally, so I suppose it's always the challenge of doing that. It doesn't mean that the other regions are not performing well. So I would say generally, when you look at the regional market, we've said that we're at the highest level of completions for 9 years. We've clearly got a very strong forward order book, and I think it just underlines the fact that overall, the regional market is performing well. The only area that we've seen any challenges in the regional market has been where we have sites with product at relatively high average selling prices. As you know our business, I mean, the average selling price is a touch below 300,000 on private. So there are very few sites in the regional business with high average selling prices. So not a major concern. In terms of London, yeah, I mean, the Help to Buy product at 40% got off to a really flying start in February. And what we've seen now is a normalisation between London and the rest of the business in terms of Help to Buy participation. So running at you know, close to 40% of private transactions. And, you know, the only restriction on that in London is clearly subject to product availability. And this is a point that I think is important, is that we're in London, you can only forward sell on Help to Buy for a period of 6 months. Then that clearly provides some restriction in terms of the extent to which you can forward sell developments.
Sure. Okay, that's useful. Thanks, gents.
Our next question comes from Gregor Koglitish from UBS. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Good morning, Happy New Year. Got a few questions. The first one is just on ASP. Can we just be clear? I think you're saying that relative to last year, you'll be more London-weighted in the second half than in the first. Just want to make sure that that also implies that sort of arithmetically, sequentially, the ASP should rise into the second half versus the first half. And then similarly, I think maybe or conversely, on the margin, I think I sort of calculate that your gross margin is probably going to likely to be nearer to 21 in the first half, sort of working backwards from the pre-tax profit guidance you've given. Yet you're sort of guiding to 20 and maybe a smidgen below, if I read that guidance correctly. So I want to understand what the headwind is on gross margin in the second half. Is it London? Or is there some caution in terms of the way you're communicating? And then finally, on London, so you've done 54 bulk sales in the half. Can you just, I think when you sort of spoke to us in November, just give us a sense sort of what the remaining stock position is and perhaps whether we should be expecting more of these kind of bulk sales, or was this really de-risking the business already, and therefore we shouldn't be expecting anything particularly significant going forward. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Gregor. So if I just pick up initially in terms of the bulk sales, and I'll just give a sort of headline comment on margin, and then Neil will talk about the ASP and provide a little more colour in terms of margin. So just on the bulk sales, I mean, first of all, We said in November that we had undertaken one bulk sale, which was for 39 units. And today we're saying that we've undertaken another bulk sale in December for 54 units. In terms of product broadly, that product is averaging price points round about £1 million. It's the kind of higher average selling price product that we're putting into bulk deals. In terms of our stock position, I mean, if you look at the stock position for the overall group, we're running a stock position of around one unit per site on average. We clearly don't want to carry excess stock. We don't believe that we're carrying excess stock at this point. And in the event that we see that there is a stock position arising in London, clearly unlikely to happen in the regional business, then we would obviously look at further bulk deals at that point in time. But I think that there's no requirement for bulk deals beyond those that we've done at this point in time. In terms of margin, just a comment I would make would be that, you know, we have been consistent to say that we see this 20% gross margin target as being a significant challenge. You know, that there are headwinds in terms of high-end London, and we've said that previously during the year. So I wouldn't want anyone to think that we're providing some soft guidance. I mean, we do see it as being challenging, and I'm sure Neil can give you a bit more color on it along with the ASPs.
Yeah, and just to reiterate, you know, David's point, I think given that we see London as the area where we're likely to see headwinds against our 20% target, one of the consequences of the build phasing that we've outlined that you can see evident in the completions in H1, but also in our guidance in H2, is that London is going to be much more second half weighted. So in terms of the margin impact, if you know, to the extent that we see that headwind from London, it is going to play out much more strongly in H2 than H1. So, you know, that is one of the factors that we're looking at in restating our full year guidance in this area, which is, as David has said, we are aiming to get to 20% gross margin, but are reflective of the fact that we have some London headwind. In terms of the average selling price, as you can see from the forward order book, and again, this is as much a facet of the London reservations for completion in H2. The average selling price in the forward order book looks, for private, looks very strong. I would also just remind you that we have Landmark Place in there too, which is scheduled for 2018 on current build plans, and that is a very high value site where we're averaging, you know, £1.3-1.4 million per reservation. So it isn't quite as clear as it looks. I would also make the comment in terms of reservation rates that one of the relative downsides in terms of a strong reservation trend in the North and in the Midlands versus the South is that there are lower average selling prices in those areas. So, you know, we are expecting that all other things being equal, the average selling price for 2017 second half will be lower than the forward order book implies. But for sure, as you say, with a second half London weighting offset perhaps by that strong reservation trend in the North, you know, we've got to see where those two balance out. And if we do better, great. But consistent with the margin guidance that we've given.
And just maybe follow up on your comment on Landmark Place. Can you just remind us how big that site is? Because obviously very big, as you say, ASP-wise. You're saying that that's a FY18 completion. Did I understand it correctly?
Yeah, I'll come back to you offline with a number of...
Okay, that's cool. Thank you. Cheers. No worries.
Our next question comes from Will Jones from Redburn. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks. I think I've got three, if I could, please. The first, just continuing on the order book. Do you have a number in mind as to how much of that half-year order book is for delivery in the second half percentage-wise, please? Second, just on London, maybe you could expand on the comment in the statement that the pricing action on some of those sites in central London successfully stimulated reservation rates and whether you did anything more on price in the back end of the year, calendar year, in addition to what you told us about in November. And then... Secondly, or lastly, just on land, the cash spend in the first half. I appreciate the approvals about a third of the full year. Should we assume it was similar for the cash spend relative to about the billion that you're looking for, I think, for the full year? Thanks.
Okay, Will, hi, good morning. So if I just talk about London pricing and then Neil can pick up in terms of the forward order book and the land cash spend in the first half. So just in terms of London pricing, I mean, when we talked to you back in November, we said that we had taken some pricing action on a small number of central London sites. So, I mean, it was three or four sites that we were talking about. And we said that the pricing action was in the order of 10%. We also said we had seen some pickup in the reservation rates, and we've seen that really throughout our Q2. We haven't taken further pricing action, so we think that we found our sort of point of equilibrium on those sites, and we've continued to see reasonable reservation trends on the sites. I mean, as you know, in overall terms, product at higher price points is a relatively small part of our overall portfolio, and we haven't been able to buy a new site in Zone 1, edge of Zone 2, since September 14. So we have a number of Zone 1 sites that will run through to completion during FY17, FY18, and Neil touched on Landmark Place, and Landmark Place will be probably primarily completing in FY18 with some further completions on the second core in FY19.
Okay.
In terms of the forward order book, Will, around three quarters of that is due in this year. And okay. In terms of the land spend, I mean, I guided to £1 billion at the end of the year. I mean, sitting here today, I think that's potentially slightly higher, but I think it will be second half weighted. So broadly, if we assume 1.1 billion, it'll be broadly 400, 700, something in that order.
Great, thank you.
Our next question comes from Charlie Campbell from Liberum. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Morning. So just a couple of questions, really. Clearly, you talk to mortgage providers all the time, and just wondering if they're saying anything different about mortgage availability in 2017, anything to note there. And secondly, just a general question, I suppose, on build costs. I mean, I guess, you know, costs are broadly fixed at least until June 17, but just... you know, anything to think about in terms of any pressures on the labour side or material side? Anything changed in the last few months? Thank you.
Charlie, hi, good morning. Okay, so I'll pick up on mortgage providers and Neil will pick up on the build costs. I think in terms of mortgage providers, I mean, it's worth just reflecting on the position. So if you went back to June, clearly one of our concerns post-referendum was the way in which the banks would approach the market post the referendum decision. And I think what we've seen really in broad terms is two things. First of all, we've seen a base rate reduction, and that clearly makes the mortgage offers more attractive. And secondly, I think we've seen ongoing and increasing competition amongst the lenders for business. So what that has done is really two things. First of all, it has helped to reduce the cost of borrowing for the consumer. And secondly, it has driven some expansion in terms of the loan to value that is available for the purchaser. So whether it be in the new build market or the second hand market, you've seen an increasing number of 90 and 95% loan to values absent the help to buy scheme. So that's got to be very good in terms of the underlying strength of the mortgage market. I think when you look at the statements from the CML in terms of calendar 17, I think the CML statements for calendar 17 are very positive and would indicate a continued expansion of lending from the banks in calendar 17.
Charlie, in terms of build costs, I mean, I think the first point just to note is that we're at the half year as opposed to the full year. So our guidance is focused on this year, of which we've got 6 months left to run. But in that context, you know, we are comfortable that our circa 3% build inflation numbers that we've guided to is still the number that we expect to see. I mean, not unlike what I've heard from some of our peers, I think there are some areas in labor which we're seeing a little less pressure on, but equally, we're starting to see a little more pressure around materials, you know, whether that's from higher energy costs or currency making some impact, a bit early to tell. But by and large, we're still not uncomfortable with that 3% number.
Yeah, okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Stephen Rowlandson from Edison Research. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning, chaps. Just wanted to ask you a question about your comment on modern methods of construction. It's possibly not, you know, necessarily a trading issue at this point, but you've mentioned it, so I feel it's sort of legitimate to ask a question. I guess that's three, actually. Well, why have you mentioned that at this stage? Secondly, what sort of scale are we talking about? And thirdly, what do you see as the key advantages for MMC and Barratt's operations?
Okay. Hi. Good morning. Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of modern methods of construction, I mean, if you went back and looked at our announcements over the last 18 months or so, it's something that we would have mentioned on a number of occasions. So I think if you look at the backdrop that the industry's had over the last couple of years, a skill shortage has been a key challenge for the industry. So in trying to increase volumes, we are short of particularly key trades, bricklayers, plumbers, electricians, roof tilers. So what I think we're trying to do as a business and hopefully as an industry is, first of all, on the supply side, we have been very actively recruiting trainees and apprentices. We're running a big program within Barratt where, you know, we have more than 10% of our employees are trainees and apprentices. So that is addressing the supply side. In terms of the demand side, is if we can introduce alternate methods of production using more modern construction, then we can reduce demand. So if I just give two illustrations, one would be that on a number of our developments, we've been able to bring in a hot water central heating cylinder and system, which is pre-assembled, and therefore that reduces the reliance on on-site plumbers, and clearly is something that addresses the demand side in terms of labour. The second area would be around, let's say, housing frames. So whether it be timber frame, in terms of scale, we would expect to have you know, circa 1,200 timber frames this year within our business. Or the other two methods that we've been trialing have been a light gauge steel frame, where we've completed about 150 units under trial, and then large format block. So using a large format block solution, which again is providing a frame in a fast way and reduces the dependency in both cases on bricklayers. So we see that it's got to be both sides of the equation. I mean, I think to be realistic, the vast majority of housing in the next 10 years in the UK will be produced using brick and block. But the more that we can do in terms of modern methods of construction, to reduce the demand side of the equation, then the more we can help to alleviate the skill shortage.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Chris Millington from Numis. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning, guys. Happy New Year, all. Just a few. I just wonder if you give us any guide as to kind of where you see the underlying rate of price inflation in the industry.
Second one's just really a checking query, and perhaps you can remind us kind of where the London average sales price is likely to sit in 17-18 and what you see as a more normal level once you've got through some of the higher end stock. And then also, I'd just welcome any thoughts you've got ahead of the forthcoming white paper.
Okay, fine. Well, if I cover the white paper, I think that's the easy one, so I'll cover it. And then Neil can just touch on price inflation and what we think in terms of London ASPs. So in terms of the white paper, I mean, we expect the white paper to be published, let's say, over the next couple of weeks. Clearly it will be published when it's ready, but over the next couple of weeks I think would be our best guide. I mean, we would expect that broadly the white paper is going to be about more of the same. So how does the government pull levers to increase housing supply? And a big part of that focus to date has been about the stimulation on the demand side in terms of, for example, Help to Buy. And on the supply side, it's been about planning and the government land release program. And we wouldn't expect there to be any major deviation away from those themes. But we would expect that there will be measures in terms of continuing to try to improve the planning system so that the government can achieve the targets of a million houses by the end of the parliament.
David, can I just quickly interject there? We're hearing quite a lot about potentially them having required build-out rates on new planning consents. Is that something you've heard of? Is it something you feel is likely?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's certainly something we've heard of. And I mean, I think the reality is that on pretty much all of our planning applications, we are required to provide build-out rates to the local authority. And very often, the Section 106 and the related payments will be structured around the build-out rates. And there will generally tend to be a recognition of both build and sales. I think we recognise that there is scope for build-out requirements to be attached to the planning application. But, you know, our caution on that would be the sort of, you know, the unintended consequences of doing that. Clearly, if build-out rates are attached to planning, for many builders, perhaps who don't have the requisite skills around the build programs, that will make a planning ticket much more risky. And the idea that you would buy land, fail to achieve the build-out rates, and somehow suffer penalty could well result in less planning applications rather than more planning applications. So I think we would caution on the sort of law of unintended consequences if there is a move to make build-out rates effectively a statutory requirement through planning.
That's very clear. Thanks.
Okay.
Just in terms of your other two questions, I mean, in terms of the rate of inflation, I think we're seeing certainly sort of low single digit at the moment. Then moving on to your London question, I mean, you know, giving you an individual data point is going to be a bit of a guess up in terms of 17 and 18 on London. What I think we said at the end of last year is that just because of the mix of sites that we had coming down the line, we expected 17 and 18 to be higher in terms of exposure to over £600,000 stock than perhaps we'd seen for a period. And really, we don't see much change to that. As you've heard this morning, we're taking action around bulk sales. We're certainly looking to stimulate through price on sites where we think that's appropriate. But that won't broadly alter, I think, the mix that we're expecting to see. And in this regard, and I mentioned Landmark Place earlier, I think it's very possible that 18 ASPs on average will be higher than 17s. So that's the broad direction of trend on London in terms of ASPs.
Okay. Many thanks. Cheers, guys.
As a reminder,
okay, thanks, Chris.
Please press star 1 to ask a question. Our next question is from John Bell from Barclays. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning, gents, and happy new year to you. I think I've got three questions, if I can. First one, how do you see the current capacity of the business with your existing structure? Second one is, clearly you make pretty extensive use of deferred payments for land. I just wonder whether there were any changes or trends in the marketplace that we might want to be aware of. And then finally, just on previously impaired sites, just an update really on how long you expect the runoff period to last for. Thanks.
Okay. Morning, John. I mean, if I maybe just start off in terms of capacity and deferred payments, just in terms of the trends on deferred payments, and then you can talk about the sort of legacy and the runoff. So, in terms of capacity, I mean, our sort of guidance was that we felt that volume growth in the order of 3 to 5% for the business was a reasonable position to look at if we were looking over the next few years. And I think that's been the position that we've given over the last couple of years. We recognise that this year, perhaps with a bit of pausing around the referendum, that we've referred to it as being more modest in the current year. But if you look at our volume growth at sort of 15% over the last 2 years, 50% over the last 5 years, we felt that settling 3 to 5% was reasonable. Mm-hmm. In terms of the scalability of our business, we haven't opened any new divisions, and we have no plans presently to open new divisions. So we're at 27 divisions. But what we have found is that our divisions can be reasonably scalable. So our largest division will be running about 850 completions, and our smallest division presently will be running around 400 completions. And we would see that most of the divisions have got capacity up to around 700 or 750 completions. I think one other point I would just use to illustrate that volumes can be flexible is that we are, in London, we're a preferred developer on Meridian Water with the London Borough of Enfield. And on the Meridian Water scheme, the total scheme is around 10,000 units. We think it will be possible to take 400 or 500 completions per annum from that site. So for many developers, it's almost a division in itself. And that will come on stream over the next 12 to 18 months. So we see that with some large strategic sites, such as Meridian Water, that those individually can provide significant volume growth for the business.
Yep.
In terms of your question on previous impairments or previously impaired or old land, I think at the June 16 year end, we talked about the percentage of completions that were coming from that source moving down to around 5% over the next year or so. But then after that, it would be a very long tail because we're broadly down to a handful, we would at that point be broadly down to a handful of large sites with a number of years to go. And that shape hasn't materially shifted in the last 6 months.
I think, John, on the land creditors, you know, that the trends that we've seen, I mean, if you've obviously seen the trends yourself, but if you look at the trends we've seen over the last 3 or 4 years, I would say as a generalization, our position on land creditors has stayed constant. You know, that we are aiming to have land creditors at around one third. And we've stated that position over the last 3 or 4 years. As a generalization for the industry, there has been an increasing utilization of deferred payment terms. And we see no reason for that to change, that the regional land market is a very, very positive market for the land buyers. And there are plenty of good opportunities, and the land purchasers are being able to defer payment terms, and it clearly makes sense to try to match the payments for land with the revenues for selling the houses, and therefore I think all house builders are incentivized to defer payment terms.
Very clear. Thank you.
There are no further questions from the phone, but again, as a reminder, please press star 1. We'll now take another question from Kevin Simic from Glencoast. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning, guys. I thought I was in the queue, but obviously managed to press the wrong numbers, but I'm here now. One thing generally, just coming back to this issue of the build delivery in London and trying to relate that to or trying to distinguish the underlying demand from what you're reporting as a sort of relatively unusual timing aspect. I take it in the first instance that you're very clearly saying that there's no change in the build delivery of London. This is not about any slippage in programs. But if I then look at if I just take, for example, your JV forward sales change, it's obviously quite dramatic in the year-on-year analysis. Can you help explain to me what's actually going on behind that? In other words, to what extent is that, in your view, a reflection of demand, i.e. that 59% drop, as opposed to what I guess you're suggesting is more a change in simply in build timing and how much is in work in progress behind that? So I'm just sort of trying to get at what you perceive to be might be an underlying decline in demand from customers in London as distinct from your own pattern of build delivery.
Okay, Kevin, that's quite a hard question. So what I'll try to do is just give you a sort of quick summary, and we can obviously pick it up separately as necessary. But just in terms of quick summary, I mean, I think the first point I would make is I think it is generally accepted that at price points below £600,000, the market in London is very strong. And that has been particularly the case since the launch of Help to Buy 40% back in February. So if you have product available and you can sell it with Help to Buy given the 6-month window, you have a very strong demand environment. And I would say year on year with Help to Buy, it is stronger. Clearly a significant proportion of our business delivery in London is at price points below £600,000. So I think that's broadly a big tick. If I was looking at product above £1 million, and just to generalise for the point of brevity, I think that if you looked at rates of sale, and we've commented about our development at Horsfree Road and the sort of sister development in Westminster at Great Minster, we've commented on that over the last couple of years, I would have said that you would be looking at rates of sale that could be 30 or 40% down on a year-on-year basis. And I'm sure that varies by site and it varies by developer experience, but generally rates of sale are down, partly because I think demand is down at higher price points and partly because supply is up at higher price points. In terms of joint ventures, There are two drivers. One is demand, as you quite rightly highlight. A number of our joint ventures in London are at higher price points, and therefore they're impacted by demand. Clearly not all of them, but some of them. But a significant factor on joint ventures is just a reduced number. Last year we had 16, this year we've got 11. So naturally, you would expect to see a reduction in the forward order book of 33% or something in that order, simply because there are less joint ventures on a year-on-year basis. And I think the final point is that there is no change in our build programs. I mean, we set our build programs, once you start going up a tower in London, it would be very unusual to change the build program. So I think the programs that we had set during calendar 16, we're still running on those build programs, and really no plans to alter the build programs, because even at demand down by, say, 30% or thereabouts, our ability to couple that with bulk deals means that we can carry on building and selling quite happily into this market.
Theoretically, then, if you were to not establish any further joint JVs than currently exist today, in, yes, say, 2 years' time, how many JV sites would you be operating off? So you're saying it's gone down from 16 to 11. Is that going to go back up on what you've got, or is it actually heading still downwards on what you currently own?
Oh, definitely heading downwards. So my sense would be, if you said 2 years, and just to make it easier for me, said 2.5 years, so that you were going through to June 19, my sense would be that, you know, that 11 would be down at 4 or 5 for June 19. So if you look at sites like Nine Elms, Fulham, Aldgate as three large joint ventures in London, they would be sold through by June 19 without any question. West Hendon, which is also a joint venture in London, that would be continuing, because that the total delivery from West Hendon is more than 2,000 completions. But the direction of travel on joint ventures, yep, is downwards. I mean, and I think it always has been, as our balance sheet has strengthened, we have been less inclined to enter into joint venture arrangements.
All right. Thanks very much, David.
Not at all. Thank you, Kevin.
Again, as a reminder, please press star 1. Our next question comes from Andy Murphy from Bank of America. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning, guys. Just one from me. I was just interested in your comments around build quality. Obviously, I understand that you, Barratt, have a 5-star rating, which you're very proud of. I was just wondering to what extent you have been investing or think you may need to invest to maintain that quality, given the comments that we've heard from one or two of your competitors recently.
Yeah, Andy, good morning. We've been consistent over a long period of time. So predating myself as chief executive, Mark, as most people would be aware, has talked about build quality and customer service over a long period. We see build quality and customer service as being absolutely fundamental. I think in a market where there is a supply-demand imbalance, perhaps some people have seen it as being less important. But as the market moves towards equilibrium and we're building more and more houses, clearly the customer has more choice, and we see it as being fundamental. I mean, the 5-star rating is one element. It's independently judged by the customers, and therefore it's a very important element, but it is one element. The other element I would point to is the NHBC Pride in the Job Awards, which is an assessment of build quality by effectively the industry experts in terms of the NHBC. And Barratt has won more Pride in the Job Awards by a long way than any other house builder for the last 12 years. So we feel that we have really banged this drum hard as to how important it is. We are investing every week and every month in terms of our processes on build and our processes on customer service. So 12 years best build, 7 years 5-star. I mean, no other house builder is anywhere close to that. So I think it's a point that we've consistently made to government is that as we seek to increase volume, we've got to be very, very cautious about where the industry goes in terms of build quality and customer service. But we're comfortable with where we are presently. I mean, I think we've had a good year in terms of NHBC accreditation, and we expect to have another good year in terms of customer accreditation and the five-star scheme. And we'll just keep going at it. But there is no short-term fix. I mean, it took us a number of years to get ourselves into a position that we were delivering five-star customer service. And clearly, that's not something that we want to give up lightly.
Great. Thanks very much.
There are no further questions from the phone. I'll now turn the call back to your host for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay. Well, I'd just like to thank everyone for dialing in. And I think, as you all know, we will be back with our full half-year results on the 22nd of February. Thank you.
That will conclude today's call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.